Okay, praise God. So as you look at the bulletin, anybody want to guess what that is? As you look at Jerry's bulletin, those are our grandkids. Those are four of our granddaughters. That's Justice, Cadence, Ellie, and Ayana. Yeah. Those are the Raggedy Ann dolls that Grandma made for them. I want to talk about unfeigned love, and it is very, very easy to love your grandkids. It's very hard not to love your grandkids. We'll put it that way. Very, very easy to love your grandkids. But I want to talk about unfeigned love. We are called to love everyone. And yes, I know I have those people in my life that get on my last nerve. I understand that. It's not always easy to love people. But I think we get confused and we have a difference between showing tender affection and showing love. Showing tender affection in a kind of a relationship setting. You love your grandkids. You want to hug your grandkids. You want to spoil your grandkids. You want to take care of your grandkids. Or your children. Or... And your kids. And your kids. Yep.
You can smack your kids
and like grandkids, but you still love them. But... you don't always want to do that same hugging, lugging, loving, snuggling with, you know, the next door neighbor. Or that person that gets on your last nerve or any of those. But that doesn't change the fact that we are called to love them. In fact, in Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22... it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. We're called to the very first of the gifts of the Spirit is love. As God's working His Spirit in us, there is a call for us to love the people around us. Love the people we encounter. You've heard the thing, love the sinner, hate the sin. Hate the sinner, hate the sin, love the sinner. However you wanted to word it, whichever order you wanted to put it in. We don't always demonstrate love to the people that, especially the people that get on our nerves, especially the people that make things difficult. But we're called to, whether we display it or not, whether we are in obedience to God's word, we are still called to show love and to have care and concern for those people who are made in the image of God. Now, C.S. Lewis tells us, don't waste your time waiting until you feel love to begin showing love. If you will begin to perform acts of love, acts of kindness, caring for people, even if they are unlovable, you will, in doing so, the fact that you're putting your effort into it will actually, in your eyes, give them more value, make them more lovable. Another way of saying that is fake it till you make it. You've heard that saying? Even if you haven't heard that saying? You've led a sheltered life. I get that. Okay. Maybe I just led a wild life, so that's where it goes. Fake it to make it is often done with not necessarily with loving other people, but acting like you're successful until you get successful, that sort of thing. That's generally the context for that. but working in ways that demonstrate the love of God, not because necessarily I feel it, not because God has completely worked it in me, but because I know God has called me to love everyone. God has called me to love my enemies. God has called me to love my neighbor. God has called me to love my wife. Thank God I'm a little better at loving my wife than I am at loving perfectly strangers. I tend to make sure she's got what she needs. I tend to make sure and worry about whether or not her blood sugar number is low, because I know what to look for. I tend to be more focused on whether or not she is okay than I am on whether or not somebody else is okay. And that goes into the part of the natural affection and the care and the kindness that we display to people. But it doesn't change the fact that we are called to love everyone. The fruit of the Spirit starts with love. As you go through this, the title "Unfeigned Love" is actually found twice in the Bible. In the King James, it's not found at all in the New King James. In the New King James, it's referred to as sincere love. Unfeigned love is we're honestly doing it, honestly caring for people. And the problem that I have, maybe it's the problem that you have, is I know in my heart I need to love people, but sometimes I just don't. Anybody else have that? Sometimes, honestly, it is not in my heart, it is not within my own strength to love somebody just because they're made in the image of God. Well, John has something to say about that, and we'll get to that. Actually, we'll get to that next. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 17. It says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." So here we find that when we do not love the people around us, when we do not love even those unlovable people who are making our lives difficult, we are being in disobedience to God's word. Because we are called to love everyone. That doesn't mean love is not necessarily, let's see what I can do to make your life pleasant. But it is being concerned about you and caring about you. It is wanting what is best for you. Not necessarily what will make you the most temporarily happy, but what is best for you. So if we see people and we come across people and they are just miserable and hard to get along with, if we take it from our own standpoint that I really wish they would straighten up because it sure would make my life better, that's not showing love. But if instead we cry out to the Lord, "Lord, give us your heart for these people, that we might recognize that God loves them and has a plan for them." And we instead pray that they would straighten out for our benefit. We begin to pray that God would touch them and draw them by His Holy Spirit and meet them at the point of their need. And that need being to get to know Him and to draw them into His arms and into His plan and into a life that He has designed for them. If we begin finding those people that make our lives difficult, and rather than focus on how it makes us feel, rather recognize that God loves them, God created them, God has a plan for them, and begin to call out for God to work in their lives to do all that God would have them to do. That they would walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit. That they would draw close to God. The Bible tells us it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can pray for anybody to repent. The Bible says so. It's God's will that all should come to repentance. So rather focusing on how it makes me feel, rather focusing on how this makes my life more difficult, and this is a kind of takeoff on Sue prayers, those of you listening online that have missed something, you don't know what Sioux prayers are. Deb and I were on vacation a couple of years ago. What?
Come to church and find out.
Come to church and find out, Debbie says. There you go. Those Sioux prayers are when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you have that person in front of you that's driving really slower than the road requires, and maybe they're just getting on your nerves and you find yourself start to flare up. Just realize this may be the only time God is going to bring that person across your path. And here is a perfect opportunity to pray that God would touch them, that God would use them, that God would bless them, that God would work in their lives. And when we put our heart and mind into praying for things for other people, not praying that they get out of the way, but that God touch them and bless them. God touch them and use them. God touch them and show His glory to them and through them. When we begin to pour out our heart to God on behalf, literally on behalf of somebody else, that is showing love. And that is what we're called to do. So, those are Sue prayers. Sue reminded me of that a couple of years ago, and Deb and I were on vacation, and she sent me an email just to let me know about that. And it comes up often how short we fall. But we are all called to love one another. We are called to show the love and grace and mercy of God to the world around us. John said here, back in verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus loved us so much He was willing to lay down His life. Jesus loved the Father so much He was willing to be obedient even unto a death on the cross. And that's who we're called to emulate, and that's who we're called to display to the people around us. The God who loves people so much that He made the way to restore their life from destruction. The Son who loved the Father so much He was willing to go through whatever it took to fulfill the will of God and to display God's love to the people around Him. That is who we're called to emulate. This fruit of the Spirit, we read about it in the very first passage. The very first of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that is what we are called to do. John tells us here, 1 John 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? I don't know about you, but as I read scriptures like this, I get pierced in my heart because I recognize my own shortcomings, my own failures, and how much I need God's love inside of me to flow through me and to pour out. The good part about that is the scripture says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. As we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, saying, God, I know this is what you've called me to do, Lord. I am not able to do it in my own strength. We find out that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Unfeigned love, even though we talked about fake it till you make it, even though we talked about, as C.S. Lewis says, begin to show love and show kindness to other people. Don't wait until you feel it. Begin to do it anyway. And as we do it, as we lay it out, God does some miraculous things in our heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Says, knowing then that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your father's conduct received by tradition, or from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb indeed without blemish and without spot, He who was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth in the spirit of sincere love of the brethren, Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not with the corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So what does that say? That says that we didn't obtain the change in our hearts, the change in our life, was something that we laid out on our own. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, who has given us new life and given us of His Holy Spirit, that we can walk in it as we recognize that God has raised up Jesus from the dead, has also been at work in our bodies, in our lives, and that we have our faith and hope in Him, we demonstrate that by showing love to the people around us. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren. That sincere love, that unfeigned love, as it says in the King James. That part of showing God's grace and mercy to the world around us is through the love. Jesus said, "By this shall men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." As the love of God works through us, as the love of God pours out of us, it begins touching other people. We find ourselves having to cry out to the Lord to refine our hearts. We cry out to the Lord to pour His love into us so that it can pour through us. Because my love is insufficient to love those people that get on my nerves. My love is insufficient to care for those people who have done evil things to me. But the grace and love of God that He gives us generously, He gives us without measure to pour through to love other people, demonstrates who God is. I just have to cry out to the Father for more and more of it. Lord, help me to love other people the way you do. Help me to demonstrate the love that you have for them. The love that it was so important that you were willing to send Jesus to die to pay the price. The love that was so important that you don't want anyone to perish. The unfeigned love that we have, that we need to pour out through us, is the love of God. Not our own love. Not our own strength. Not our own wisdom. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul is talking, and he's talking to the Corinthian church, and he said, "We've gone through some stuff." Get that real New English translation there? We've gone through some stuff. Yet God's grace is sufficient. 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." In vain. Of no purpose. Uselessly, without effect. Those are some of the synonyms. Like aluminium. Some of the synonyms for in vain. "For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Paul begins talking. He says, "We give no offense in anything." Do we have that testimony? Do you? Because I know I don't. But do we desire that testimony? That we give no offense in anything. "That our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers to God." Commend ourselves. He doesn't say we lift ourselves up or encourage ourselves. He says we display ourselves and we keep in mind that we are ministers of God. In everything that we do to reflect who God is and what God has done in us. "In much patience." Okay, kind of wipes me out. "In much patience, praise God, I'm not as impatient as I used to be. Praise God, God is doing a wondrous work. In much patience, in tribulations, do we display ourselves as ministers of God when things are difficult? in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Paul's saying in everything that we do, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our situation is, we remember that we are displaying the grace and love and mercy of God. That we are called as ministers of God, servants of God, to display God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. Jesus, when He was accused, when He was falsely accused, He didn't turn it around on them. Jesus, when He was beaten, didn't strike back. Jesus, when He was reviled, when He was mocked, when He was spit upon, Jesus showed the love of God in everything that He did. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor. Doesn't matter if people lift you up or tear you down. By evil report and good report. Doesn't matter if people say bad things about you or good things about you. As deceivers and yet true. Doesn't matter if you're treated as though you're a liar. Still show the grace and love and mercy of God in all that we do. As unknown, yet well known. World may not know who you is. Well, I'm going to learn English here for too much longer. The world may not care who you are. But our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As dying and yet behold we live. As chastened and yet not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. He says, doesn't matter what is going on, we are called to show the grace and love and mercy of God to the people around us. Having that sincere love. And when we fall short, and we fall short, when we fall short, recognizing that we need God's grace and God's love and God's mercy, and it's beyond us. It is not our power. It is not our strength that does it. It is crying out to God that He show Himself mighty on our behalf. That in our weakness He be displayed as strong. That in our weakness He fills us up with His grace and His mercy. That we be a light and that we be a witness to the people around us. Final passage, 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody knows this. Pretty much anybody who's been to a wedding ever has heard this. But just starting with verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As we look at this list, do we catch ourselves comparing our actions to what the Word calls us to be? As we look at this, do we recognize how much we are morally bankrupt without the grace and mercy of God in our hearts and in our lives? I don't know if you've heard this, but it was advice from a parent to to a child who was young 20-year-old person who was thinking about getting married and says, "Can you picture your spouse in this passage? Every place that it says love, put in your potential spouse's name." That doesn't get you off the hook because you also have to go back and do it with your own name. Can I say Andrew suffers long and is kind? Sometimes. Sometimes. Andrew does not envy. Andrew does not parade himself and is not puffed up. No. When we recognize how much we fall short, it's a call from the Holy Spirit to seek His face and to seek His mercy. That His love fill us. That it can pour out to the people around us. We have this hope inside of us. Jesus Christ has died and paid the price for our sin. We have accepted that and recognized that because of the work that He has done, all of our sins are paid for, past, present, and future. All of our shortcomings are addressed. And we are stand before a holy God, holy and righteous, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. That our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That henceforth for us the crown is laid up, as Paul said. A crown of righteousness. Because I tell people, heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our destination. Our goal is to touch the hearts of lives of other people that they can also have heaven as their destination. So when we read Scripture and we recognize our shortcomings, it is a call to seek the grace and mercy of God that we may more display God's love to the people around us. Verse 8, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For now we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. It says, now abideth three strings, faith, these three things, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. It's not our faith. It's not our hope. It's not our love. It's our love that touches and changes people. Our faith and our hope are in us to give us strength. Our love is supposed to pour through us to show God's grace and God's mercy to the people around us. That other people may come to know who He is. That it might stir up the jealousy that people seeing our love may want some of what God has done in us. As we have grace in the midst of a problem, as we have an expectation of God's love and God's mercy in the midst of turmoil, as we look at the world around us, and rather than getting all defensive and hunkering down and getting all ready to defend ourselves against all enemies, foreign and domestic, our thought is, our heart is, our desire is that God's grace and God's mercy overflow this land, overflow this world. That God's grace and God's mercy begin to touch every heart. That those people who have stood up in opposition to us, to me, to you, to the the teacher that got upset that you had to translate the teacher's accent for the child. You know what I'm talking about. And got so difficult. Different other people that get upset. The people that get angry with us. Because we want to stand for righteousness. Or people that get angry with us because we see things a different way. If our hope is set in God working through us, to pour His love through us, then our desire is to see their hearts and lives change too. Not because it makes it easier for me. Not because it makes it easier for you. But because as people get to know the grace and love and mercy of God, you cannot come in contact with the true and living God and walk away unchanged. Hearts and lives be changed when we display God's grace and God's love to the people around us. If we say, you know, I don't know what it is, there's just turmoil on every side. I don't know what it is. There's problems everywhere I look. Well, praise God. There's an opportunity to show the love of God. C.S. Lewis told us, don't wait until you feel it. Begin to display love. Begin to display grace. Begin to display mercy. Begin to display kindness when it's not expected. And in doing so, it increases that person's value in our own eyes because we have put our own effort into touching them. It makes it easier to love people when you have something invested in them already. But we are called to show God's love everywhere. And we take a look at this passage in 1 Corinthians. Put your name in there where it says love. Do an evaluation, a self-evaluation, and recognize where we fall short, and also recognize that it is not done in our strength anyway. It is done in God's strength. So there's how we can pray that God show His grace and His love through us. Father, we fall short. Lord, Lord, so many times I don't show love to the people around me. Basically, be perfectly honest, a lot of folks don't even cross my mind. Which means that I don't yet have enough of the love of God going through me that my heart breaks for the people that are hurting. My heart breaks for the people that don't know Him. My heart breaks for the people that are angry. We are called to show God's love. And in doing so, hearts and lives are touched. Every last one of us is called to display the love and grace and mercy of God. Every last one of us falls short. When we fall short, it's a reminder to seek the face of God and seek more and more and more of His love to pour through us. Lord, give us Your heart to see these people. Give us Your eyes. Give us, Father, Your wisdom. Help us, Lord, to be a light to the people around us. Help us, Father, to make a difference every place we go. Help us, Lord, to be an encourager. Help us, Lord, to pray for that person that crosses our path, even if they're not going really slow. Maybe they're the person that's going really fast. Sometimes when the person goes really fast, we have less kind words than the person's going really slow, don't we? Lord, there's the person You just brought to my attention, and I know they need Your love and Your grace. I know, Father, they need to draw closer to You. Because it doesn't matter who we are, every last one of us needs to draw closer to the Lord. There is not a person on this planet that couldn't stand to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Father. Correct? Praise God. Somebody comes whipping past you, guess what? Hey, Lord, there's one. I lift him up to You and ask, Father, that You touch him. I lift him up, Father, and ask, Father, that You would just stir in their heart to draw close to You. Lord, I don't know what's going on in their lives, but I know they need You. Let's begin seeking the face of God for that mindset, for that thought, for that whole thought process, that everything we do is based on the desire to show God's love to the people around us. Whatever it takes, whatever the situation. Paul talked about it. It's like, I've been persecuted, I've been beaten, I'm mocked, I'm called a liar, I'm called a thief. I got all these things going on, yet I recognize that in everything I do, I am a messenger of the Most High God. I am a witness. I am an ambassador of God to the people I encounter. Praise the Lord. Father, we do come before You recognizing, Lord, that we need more and more and more of Your love. Recognizing, Father, through Your word that we are called to be a light and a witness. That we are called to show Your love, even as the very first of the fruit of the Spirit is to show Your love in every aspect of our lives. And Father, we fall short. Lord, we are morally bankrupt. Lord, we do not have the strength within us to do this, and we need You. And we thank You, Father, that Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, as we cry out with our need for You, Lord, you promise to give grace to the humble, even as you resist the proud. Father, as we recognize that we cannot do this on our own, but through your Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Lord, we begin crying out to seek your face. Crying out, Lord, to seek that your love flow through us. Give us your heart to see the lost. Give us your heart, Father, to see the people around us. Give us your heart, Lord, to see every person we encounter in this world. For we know, Lord, that every last one of us, every last person on this planet needs you. Lord, your word tells us that flesh and blood are not our enemy. We don't even wrestle against flesh and blood. So, Lord, we see people around us that are trapped in sin. People around us, Father, that are under oppression. People around us, Father, that are just bound up in their own minds. That do not have an understanding of right and wrong even. So, Lord, our heart would break. That our heart would break, Lord, for an outpouring of your love that they might come to know you. That no matter what our situation is, we know, Father, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You're with us in the midst of any turmoil. You're with us in the midst of any problem. And your grace is sufficient for us. So, Father, give us your heart to see the lost. Give us your heart, Father, to see the hurting. Give us your heart, Father, to see the lonely. Give us your heart, Father, to see the downtrodden. That their lives might be touched and may be healed. Father, we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.